Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. So some of you are dying to know what is going on in the Gordon household. Yeah, because I've been keeping you informed on the crazy events of trying to sell property that you live in. Yeah, you know, the stuff that I live, like I own my house, right? It's been a nuts. It's just been nuts. I'll be honest with you, I have never seen craziness like I'm seeing in the market right now. I mean, there are literally people panicking because they think they will be priced out of the marketplace very soon, or that prices will adjust upward so significantly that they're going to have to modify their requirements for their home. Yeah, so in other words, they may want 4,000 square feet, but four kids and 2,000 square feet, for those of you that have been there, done that, you know that's a little difficult. A little easier if you're in 4,000 square feet, especially if the master is separated from the other bedrooms. At least you get a little quiet space, or at least you hope, right? Yeah, yeah. But the market is nuts. There's no other way to tell you what is going on in the market than to describe it as crazy. It's crazy out there. So here's the update. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this stuff because you didn't tune in to find out, you know, what's going on with my home selling ordeal. It's an ordeal. Okay, so here's your update. We received two offers on our property yesterday. We rejected one because that person came in and said, hey, I really want to buy your house, and hey, I'm all pre-qualified, and by the way, I have to sell a property. Oh, and that property is in another state, and I'll probably get around to putting it on the market maybe in a week or two. Yeah, that's not somebody who's ready, willing, and able. That's somebody that's willing. That's somebody who's semi-ready, but they're not able to buy my house, because they're asking for a contingency for them to sell. Now, here's the thing. I don't know anything about the house that they own in another state. I don't know what the market conditions are there. I don't know if they're going to aggressively price their property so they can move it on the marketplace, or if they're going to hold out for absolute top dollar, because that's what a lot of people are trying to get right now. People are getting, well, I'll use the word greed. They're getting a little greedy. Well, okay, not everybody. Not everybody's getting greedy. But that's the way it feels out there. Yeah. So we said no to those guys. Meanwhile, another offer came in. And by the way, we have not received less than what we were asking. No, not one offer for less than what we're asking, which tells me that there's no objections to how we've priced our property. As a matter of fact, I've got a couple of other realtor friends that have kind of suggested to me that maybe I'm about $25,000 light, maybe $25,000 below what I probably could get for this property. And you know what? They're right, because I've looked at the comps. But I'll tell you what, this is where some of the Lifestyles Unlimited philosophy kind of bleeds over into my personal situation. See, one of the things that you will learn that we embrace when it comes time to sell your investment property, not the stuff you live in, the stuff that somebody else lives in. Yeah, that you provide to them and you own and operate and get all the benefits of real estate investing. So when you go to sell a property that's been an investment property, what you tend to do is you tend to look at the fact that you've owned it for a while, that property probably has gone up in value, but some of the systems have aged. That's correct. Because remember, I got to take two steps back, because I'm assuming you're up to speed on the buying process that we use. And I realize that's not fair. That's not fair unless you're a Lifestyles Unlimited member, in which case I could go really fast and I'd probably not lose you. But that's not fair to you that haven't had a chance to at least check us out. So I get that. All right. So in our buying process, when we analyze property, we look at everything. We look at the roof, we look at the foundation, we look at the walls, we look at what's inside the walls, we look at all the systems, we look at all of the appliances, we look at everything that has the potential to break, to include plumbing lines and electrical, yeah, and gas, all that stuff. Yeah, we want to know what the condition is concerning that property. Because what we intend to do is we intend to fix it up to like new condition. Yeah, because we're going to fix or repair anything that doesn't have a 5 to 7 year serviceability life. And to be honest with you, if it costs too much to do that based on what we can buy the property for, we'll just pass and we'll go on to the next property, because there's really no shortage of properties out there that you can acquire. There really aren't. Now, I will tell you, this gets back to the crazy market we're in. I will tell you that, you know, people are believing that they're sitting on gold mines. I mean, people that have had distressed properties for years that, you know, they couldn't give away, all of a sudden these things are like showing up on the market, you know, for more of an asking price than it can command. Okay, so let's get back to the analogy that I was making. So when I sell an investment property, I want to leave some meat on the bone. I do. I want that next person to buy it, whether they're going to be an owner-occupant or they are going to be an investor, I want them to get a little bit of meat on the bone. In other words, I'm going to give them a little bit of a break on the price. That makes the property more attractive. It allows me to sell the property more efficiently, more effectively, and that's a good thing. So I'm taking that approach with my personal residence. And those of you that have listened to the nutsiness of my backstory on this thing, you know it's getting crazy. Okay, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about houses.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought 3 brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have 3 of her inherited properties and then 3 properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into 3, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at lifestylesunlimitedfreeworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So what do you think's going to happen? Yeah, what do you think's going to happen with any of the markets out there? I mean, you're seeing the same things that I'm seeing. I know you are. I know you're not blind. I know you know of people that sold a property earlier this year that were probably lamenting that they should have held it for a little bit longer because they could have sold it for even more. I know people like that. But I don't have that philosophy. I really don't. I believe in transacting properties to make it a win-win situation for both sides of the equation. I really do. Now, there are people that like to play the negotiation game where it's my way or the highway. Yeah, you must meet all of my demands and bow down to me. That's not the way I roll. That's not the way I roll. I think that when you buy and sell property, everybody should win. There should be a good reason for somebody to sell, maybe to harvest profits, and there should be a good reason for somebody to buy, which is gives them an opportunity to put an asset into the marketplace that's going to do great things for them in accordance with their goals and objectives. Yeah. And houses are way cooler than that little shiny prospectus that your mutual fund provider sends you every year. That annual report, you know, it's what, about, I don't know, 30, 40 pages. It's all in super small font, and they use the most complex words that they can to describe everything to you because they want to keep you in the dark. That's my opinion. Okay, that's my opinion. I don't think that's their intent. That's just my opinion. But what do you know about those stocks? What do you know about those companies that your money is invested in? Yeah. Do you even know what companies you're invested in? I know that back in the day, it was probably the 1990s when I had a financial planner. And that financial planner said, hey, man, this is a great mutual fund for you. And, of course, it had, like, massive front load fees, which I didn't understand at the time, that ultimately got that company in a lot of trouble for, you know, predatory practices. And let's just say it the way it is. And I would carve out money every month out of my paycheck. I never saw the money. It was automatically drafted right from the United States Army, never passed through my bank, went right to my financial planner. I think we were dropping something like $750 a month. That was the max we could afford at the time. And I remember getting that prospectus, and I remember taking a look at it. And there were companies in there that, you know, I understood what they did. You know, companies like Apple, companies like Hewlett-Packard, companies like, you know where I'm going, right? Okay, so there were also companies in there I'd never heard of. I'd never heard of these companies. Now, the way they organized this thing was, I think I was invested in something like 100 or 120 companies in this mutual fund. Yeah. And whoever was managing that fund, whoever was, you know, taking a good salary to protect my interest and to grow my wealth, whoever was managing that fund was selecting which companies would stay in the fund and which companies would be removed from the fund. So you would hope that that person at least understands those 100 to 120 companies out there. Do they? I don't know. Now, I'm not saying the people that manage funds don't pay attention to what they're doing. That is not what I'm saying. But let me switch it around on you here. That fund manager, he's or she is actually doing what I think you should be doing. Yeah, that's what I think you should be doing. I think if you're going to put your hard money to work and you're going to risk it in the markets, you better have a pretty solid understanding of what you're investing in. But the problem is, people that invest in mutual funds, they just look at what the face value of that mutual fund is on a stock ticker. And they just assume as long as it's going upwards and to the right, it's doing okay. Now, there's a lot of things going on in that stock thing, that mutual fund. That fund manager is selling what they consider to be underperforming assets. They are buying what they consider to be better performing assets. They are working a blended mix to give you the best rate of return that they can give you. And most financial planners will tell you, hey, you know, 7-8%, that's kind of the sweet spot. Now, it's actually a little higher in today's markets because, I mean, heck, look at what the stock market's doing. The stock market's at pretty much all-time highs. I mean, this thing is never going to fall apart, right? Right. Oh, wait a minute. The stock market will disappoint you. If it hasn't happened to you yet, trust me, it's out there waiting to just catch you by surprise. Because one day you're going to wake up and you're not going to see the NASDAQ at new highs. You're going to see the NASDAQ with basically a cross-collar chokehold on it, and you're going to see the value plummeting. Now, that's not going to immediately affect your mutual fund because of the mechanics on how those things work. But I will tell you, if you're in one of those mutual funds that has a big share of stocks that are riding on the NASDAQ and the NASDAQ tanks, here's what you may not know. 3 out of 4 stocks follow the direction of the general market. Yeah, that's been statistically proven. Go look it up. So what does that mean? That means if you're sitting on what you think is a super fat pile of cash, maybe it's in a 401k, maybe it's in an IRA. I don't know what you do. Maybe it's a 423 or I see. I don't even know what all those things are. I don't want to know what all those things are. You could be disappointed. You could be terribly disappointed, and I don't want that to happen to you. I really just don't want that to happen to you. Yesterday, I was talking about 3 different properties that the different agents that I have relationships with were sending me, telling me, hey, man, this came on the market. It meets your criteria. Are you interested? Yeah, they don't care if I say not today. They don't care if they send me 150 of them and I don't buy one. Yeah, because trust me, when they figure out that they find something that meets my criteria, it's going to meet somebody else's criteria too. Oh yeah, they don't have any problem selling this stuff. They don't. Oh, and by the way, the returns that we were talking about yesterday were much better. I know, I promised to talk about houses, and I guarantee I will after this break.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, there's a website out there called slickcharts.com. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know exactly what they do. I'm not promoting them or anything. I went to do a web search because I was curious. What's the stock market been doing? I mean, the stock market's been on fire, right? I mean, I know people that have been stuffing money into those retirement accounts for their entire working career. And I also know that they have just been watching the dollar amounts of those retirement accounts just like it just seem to explode. It's like they can't do anything wrong. They're just making all kinds of money. I mean, my buddy Fred, he went, what did I tell you? Went from 900K, no, it was 800K to $1.2 million. And he's taking a real hard look at tapping that money. And to be honest with you, I hope he does tap it while it's still at its value. But But then there's that whole greed thing in there, right? There's that whole greed thing in there. Like, well, do I let it ride? Do I let it ride? What am I good till the end of the month? Do you think I could last through next month? Do you think it's going to keep going? You think it's going to keep going? I don't know, man. I do not know. Now, I tell you, I've been reading a lot of stuff talking about inflationary pressures, and I've been reading articles about how the stock market is peaked. It is peaked. Even I was reading a Morgan Stanley article that said, man, this is it. Buckle up. It's going to go down. And that article was written last week, and I haven't seen it go down. But when the stock market is ready to go down, it's going down, and it takes no prisoners. Yeah, when it goes south, it goes south real fast. Yeah, yeah. Look at the stock charts, man. Take a look at the stock charts. I mean, that is a graphical representation of what the markets do over time. And you will see there are periods over the life of the stock market where people potentially got damaged very badly. So what I think you ought to do is I think you ought to move away from the stock market. Oh, by the way, the slick charts thing. The reason I went to these guys is because I just did a search for, hey, what has the stock market done? I mean, just across the board, throw me a number. I'm looking for a number. It threw me a number. It gave me what I was looking for. It estimates that the total return for 2021, okay, so that's just going back to the beginning of the year, not taking into account anything that occurred in the prior year, strictly since January 1st, 17.23%. And I'll tell you what, I've never seen returns like that in the stock market unless you're investing in actual individual stocks and you're spending a lot of time researching companies and you're working with formulas. And if you're really going to stock pick, you can make money picking stocks. But I will tell you this, it's a full-time job and you have to be available when the market's open. You have to ride out that first half an hour where trading is always nuts because there's pent-up demand from the night prior. You got to watch your stocks throughout the day to make sure that, you know, your stop losses don't trigger. And then you got to be prepared for the last half hour of the market, which can also be a volatile time because people are trying to get trades in. Yeah, and who are these people? Well, I don't know. People that invest in the stock market. There's a lot of people that do what you do. So 17.23%, that's a pretty good return. I will give you that. I will totally give you that. Now, I don't think that's indicative of anything that you've earned in the market prior, because they don't really break down what this means. This just assumes that you just started with your money in January. You went in with a set amount, and it's grown 17.23% since then. Yeah, I mean, that's not even an annual number, is it? No. And you might be thinking, I'm trying to convince you to step away from real estate and go back into the stock market. And that could be no further from the truth. Let me talk about houses now, because I promised you I would do it. And some of you are going, you know, Al, a 17.23% return to date, if the trend continues, could effectively get to 30%. Yeah. Now I hear you. I hear you. And you know what? If you're going to keep your money in the stock market, I hope that's the result you get. I hope you get a benefit from what's been going on in the craziness in this world. But here's the other thing you're probably not aware of. Inflation is occurring. Now, I had a conversation with my children. By the way, both of my children are adults. They're both over 21 years of age. One's out of college and working. One's in her last, I think she's a junior. I don't know what she's got, a year and a half. Okay, three semesters. That's what we figured out last night. Three more semesters to get her double major, whatever she's working on. They have never seen inflation in their life. No, they really have never felt the effects of inflation, because to be honest with you, inflation has been relatively mellow for quite a while. it's, you know, whatever this country's doing with monetary policies, et cetera, it's been keeping inflation kind of under wraps. And we've had the benefit of lower interest rates. So the cost to buy money is cheaper. Now, that's not good for you people that have all your money sitting in, like, municipal bonds and stuff like that, that are getting, like, no return. Okay, maybe you're getting 1%. I don't know. So there might be a temptation to jump into that 17.23% return in the market because, you know, at least catch up on the rest of that, right, as it approaches 30. But inflation. Inflation. Here's what you may not glean from just, you know, skimming through the pages of your mutual fund prospectus with 100 and some odd companies in it. Right now, costs are going up. You're feeling it. I'm feeling it. The price of meat has gone up. The price of chicken has gone up. Fuel prices are going up. Some people would say, well, you know, that's just because we're getting back into, you know, the nitty-gritty of what we do in the world. And I'm here to tell you that's not what's causing it. See all these supply interruptions that we've had? Yeah, I mean, price of lumber. Really? Price of lumber. I mean, we need new construction real bad in this country, and we can't afford to build it because the price of lumber went out of control because of what happened in the world as we adjusted to a pandemic. Yeah. So, I mean, there are inflationary pressures impacting all businesses worldwide. Yeah, I said it. So here's the thing. Businesses, they prefer that when their overall costs go up, passing those costs onto you and me, the consumer. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way they roll. But for certain goods or services, you can only pressure your buying public so much. So what does that mean? Well, that means maybe you're going to start eating some costs because you can't raise your price point because the market will not allow you. So what do? Well, your returns, they tend to suffer. Uh-oh, and you're invested in stocks. When we come back from the break, I'll give you the bad news.
The only bus ticket worth millions.
That bus tour on Friday, was that not crazy fun? Loaded with like-minded people, loaded up with a bus full of millionaires. We rocked it. We laughed and learned and chatted and networked and had fun doing it.
Seeing the complexes in person, being able to touch it, feel it, talk to the owners.
And what they've done with them.
What they've done with them, you know. Watching a webinar, or, you know, seeing photos, it doesn't do it justice, you know.
No, being here is huge, yeah. And we're really excited for it. And now we're, like, jumping in with both feet.
To be able to go out and see 4 apartment complexes all in the same day, you know, especially when we got back and we were able to debrief and go through it all, cover it all, really was an interesting event. And people were loving it.
You'll love it, too. Come laugh, learn, and level up your apartment investing skills. Meet and debrief with Del Walmsley, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited. Register at MultifamilyMastersTour.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so there's a lot of information flowing around in the news outlets, on the internet, in different places. I'm seeing article after article describing what they think is going to be the top to the stock market. And one of the major points that's being presented is that there are companies out there that are absorbing costs. They are absorbing costs. In other words, the price of the materials that they consume as they provide the products and services for you are going up, but they may not be raising the price that you pay. So what happens? I mean, you should be happy about that, right? Because, you know, you don't have to pay an extra $10 for whatever you're buying from that company. But there's a problem. Companies use a very sophisticated accounting system to determine value. Yeah, I mean, it's really no different than what you and I would use. It's just they've got a whole lot more line entries and things like that, unless they're like a little small business. So you have income streams and you have expenses. And when you subtract those, you know, you take the costs away from the income or the expenses away from the income. Okay, I don't want to get too deep into accounting because my brain just went into cost of goods sold and stuff like that. And, I hate accounting. I do. I hate accounting, but I love accountants because they make my life so much easier. What happens is it affects that company's net operating income. Those companies are valued based on that NOI. It's no different than the way we evaluate our apartment communities. Yeah, we use an income approach. So when a company is unable to increase income, yet their cost to maintain their client base is rising, what do you think happens to their profits? What do you think happens to their NOI? Well, the short answer is it has a tendency to go down. And that's what a lot of these outlets are predicting. A lot of these outlets are predicting that as future earnings reports come out, and they come out quarterly, there could be some transactions occurring in the stock market. See, that fund manager? That fund manager who supposedly, well, no, that's not right. It's not fair. That wasn't fair. I shouldn't say that. The fund managers actually got a very difficult job. They really do, because they've got to have some kind of predictive analysis on every company that they're managing, because they're managing all that for you. There's like one guy or, you know, group of guys, however your mutual fund provider does it. And they're trying to figure out what the future looks like. And they're stressing out over the fact that costs are coming up more and income is not. So now they start thinking, okay, well, which company is going to be damaged? Because, you know, they got your back, right? Well, here's the thing. The mutual fund that you're invested in is not the only mutual fund out there buying and selling stocks within it. Yeah. So trust me, if your person senses that they need to dump a company, chances are somebody else who's, you know, received similar training and is doing a similar job will probably make the same assessment. So now we start seeing prices of stocks go down because we start to see net selling as opposed to net buying. And what are they going to buy to replace it? Well, I don't know. You know, that's kind of up to your fund manager, right? Because you trust that person to do that. All I have to say to you right now is that I am very happy that you've got a big balance in your retirement fund or your mutual fund or where have you got all that money? I'm really happy you've got a big balance. But I don't want you to think that the kind of returns that Slick Charts is projecting, you know, what was that number? 17.23%. And that was for the S&P 500 since the beginning of the year. I mean, those crazy returns. I don't think that's sustainable. If it was sustainable, I think my financial planner back in the 90s would have told me, dude, you could be making like 15 to 20% on your investment. That's not what he told me. He said, dude, you could be making like 7 to 8% because that was the going rate back then. And be honest with you, it's kind of easy to produce 7 to 8% for you because they've got a lot of overhead for managing those funds. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're just giving you what they told you they were going to give you. You probably could get better returns if you managed it all yourself. But then again, there's a time requirement. And you're busy trading time for money because you've got a J-O-B. You have W-2 income. And I'm not picking on you. I've been there. I've done that. I've had W-2 income my entire life. But that path you're following, it's not working. It's not working. I don't want you to get to the age of 40 and have a midlife crisis and realize that you're no closer to retirement than you were when you started in your 20s. And for you guys in your 50s that are looking at your retirement funds and trying to balance, okay, when do I pull the cord? And can I live off of this? And what will my lifestyle be? And or do I keep working and try and fatten the cow a little bit more? And what if I have a heart attack and I don't make it through? What then? How about you guys in your 60s? Man, you're supposed to be in the age group that's supposed to be retired. Unfortunately, I see more and more statistical information that tells me that more and more of you are being forced to stay in the workforce because you're concerned. And think about it. Look at what you have in that retirement account right now. All you guys in your 60s are going, man, I got a fat retirement account. I'm doing great. What happens if you retire tomorrow and the market does to you what it did when coronavirus showed up or Black Friday? Then what? Then what? Would you watch? You watch all of that money you have sitting there. You watch it erode. Because all of a sudden, the assets that you have your money invested in radically devalue. Yeah, that's how it works, guys. That's how it works. So let's get back to the houses piece. Three more houses today. Three more houses showed up. I'm like, okay, let's check these all out, man. This is good stuff. So I've got one. Oh, that's the one from Georgia from yesterday. I'll tell you what, that, wow, screaming deal. But three different houses showed up on my radar since last night. And this one here, 22% cash on cash return, just on the cash piece, on the spendable income that you get to use every month, has nothing to do with the equity growth. Nothing. Just the cash on cash. Oh, and by the way, that mutual fund is not paying you cash on a monthly basis. Here's another one in San Antonio, a little different than the one yesterday. This one's actually got a little better returns. It's producing 18.2% returns. This one over here, this one's producing almost 20% returns. The reason I'm highlighting these properties is not to sell them to you. To be honest with you, I don't even know what you need for real estate because you have not become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. You have not gone through our educational program. You have not sat down to work on your goals and objectives, nor have you really spent some quality time with a mentor. So I'm just giving you rates of return. All I'm showcasing to you is that you can get similar rates of return in real estate as you're getting in your retirement account. But there's one major difference. One major difference. The money I'm talking about you receiving returns on is spendable cash. Spendable cash that you can use to offset your other costs of living. Think about it. Look at what you've got in that mutual fund. And consider that if you repurposed all of that money into residential income producing assets, we can get you to a place where you can replace that W-2 income. We can get you there as fast as you're willing to go. And I will tell you this, don't be afraid of the markets. Do not be afraid of the real estate markets, because when you do business the way we teach you to do business, you have a lot of protections built in. Nothing's guaranteed, but I will tell you this, real estate will get you retired in the next 5 years, a lot faster if you repurpose that retirement account. Want to find out how we do it? Sign up for one of our free workshops. Go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.